The short gospel we've just read from the evangelist Luke in a way capsulizes all that Christ came into the world to do. Three short paragraphs and three outstanding events in the life of Christ. The first was the sudden healing of a high fever, says Luke, the physician, of Simon's mother-in-law. Good to know. Peter, the first pope, had been a married man. The second, he drove the demons out of many possessed people who, on leaving the people, shouted, "You are the Son of God." Christ rebuked them, not because it wasn't the truth, but Christ did not want them, possessed people, to be witnessing to who he is. It makes all the difference in the world. Not only or mainly what the person says, but who it is that says it. Christ did not appreciate the witness of possessed people, the devil saying, "You are the Son of God." The devil being a liar, people would scarcely believe. And the third episode, Christ wanted to go off to a lonely place to pray, not because he needed it, but because we needed his example. The people caught up with him, tried to constrain him to stay longer with them. Sorry, others need the preaching too. Each of these three teaches us an important lesson. Christ's sudden healing of Peter's mother-in-law tells us why Christ came into the world. He came to heal mankind. Christ is the divine healer. He came immediately and mainly to heal man of the ravages of sin. And as conscious as we are of the least pain in the body, let's not forget the worst disease and the one that Christ principally came into the world to heal, his sickness of the soul, to heal us of sin. In other words, the principal disease in the world, which I don't hesitate calling an epidemic, a sickness of spirit. You don't see all that's going on in the world today, and we're more conscious of it than ever before, without realizing the human race is very, very sick and desperately needs to be healed. In fact, our papers, that's about all they report. One crime after another, which means one spiritual disease after another. Yet, as we know, Christ worked some 38 recorded individual miracles and 10 collective miracles where whole towns, everybody, was healed. Now, they weren't as big as Chicago, but there were a lot of people. Christ healed bodies in order to prove, and that's the verb, in order to prove that he is the God who can heal the soul. Remember that dramatic occasion where a man was dropped through the roof? The place was so crowded they couldn't get him in through the door. And they saw this thing coming down from the roof. They made room. It was obvious why he was dropped down. He was a paralytic to be healed. So what did Christ do? He told him, "Your sins are forgiven." The paralytic, in effect, says, "Thanks. What I really need is to be healed of my paralysis." So Christ tells him, "Your sins are forgiven." Under his breath, the paralytic must have said, "Thanks." But remember, immediately after telling the man, "Your sins are forgiven," the bystanders remember, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And then Christ's famous words, what's easier to say? "Your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk." Then that you might know that the Son of Man, those the words, has power on earth to forgive sins, he told the man, "Pick up your mat and walk." In other words, Christ proved that he has power to heal souls by suddenly healing a body. That's the first lesson. Peter's mother-in-law was suddenly healed of her physical ailment in order to prove to the bystanders and Christ's contemporaries and in the last 1900 years to all the faithful that Christ is indeed the Son of God who came into the world to heal souls. Second episode. Christ is recorded as having driven the evil spirit out of many people, Luke says, who came out the devils screaming. You might say there are two different kinds of sickness or disease of a spiritual nature from which people suffer. One disease comes from the inside, from our fallen human nature, where we give in to our fallen nature, giving in to pride, lust, anger, greed, and the rest. But there is also a sickness induced not from within by our unruly passions that we give into, but from the devil from the outside. It is well to remind ourselves that there are not one or two but three sources of sin in the world. There is the world, there is the flesh, and there is the devil. Now once again, Christ drove the devil out of these possessed people in order to prove to us that he has power over the evil spirits, not only driving the devil out of possessed people, but protecting us from the temptations of the evil one, to which unless we are protected by Christ, we are sure to give in. In other words, the worst effects of the devil's work in the world, hear it, the worst effect is not to have someone possessed by the devil. It's dramatic. It is astounding to know about possessed people. Is to be terrified indeed. The devil's worst work in the world is not in those whom he possesses. It is in those whom he leads into sin. A person in mortal sin is far worse off than one who is possessed. In other words, a possessed person may be, as we say, under the power of the devil, but the devil has no power over his free will. Whereas a person in sin, and surely in mortal sin, has literally given himself to the power of the evil one. And finally, Christ's preaching. How the people wanted him to preach after he had stayed for a short time. They all but held on to him physically. The lesson to us. How we need to have Christ speak to us in our day. We don't have the visible presence of Christ in our midst, but we have Christ speaking to us in so many ways. He stayed on earth visibly for only a short time. Christ is on earth now. He's right here. And the first thing we're going to do after Mass is expose the Blessed Sacrament. We cannot see him. That is, in his human flesh. We believe he's here. He is here teaching. He is here directing us. It is Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Christ in teaching through the church. I watched that stack of Immaculata magazines. Well, not too many people are coming in here, nevertheless. I did expect, it's been about a week, I expected the stack to get a little smaller. Is it still there? Once in a while in the New York subways, I see a person, and how pleased I am, I see a person reading the Bible on the subway. A rare experience. What I generally see is people buried in the New York Times or the New York Daily News. The Daily News, the scandal sheet of New York City, circulation over 1 million. What a lesson. How few people listen to Christ and his teaching, the teaching of his church. For one person who will read, say, the New Testament for 10 minutes a day, 1,000, maybe 10,000, will read the papers, magazines, all kinds of lecherous pornography. Christ is teaching today. How few are listening. Let's ask our Savior on all three levels to learn the lesson he wants to teach us. Lesson number one, that he came into the world to heal us. And the healing of body, the Christ who worked the miracles to heal bodies, is the Christ who came to heal our souls. And we sure need him. Lesson number two. This Christ has power over the devil. Don't forget, at the end of every Our Father, let's say the end of it, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, that expression, deliver us from evil, in all the Greek manuscripts reads, deliver us from the evil one, the devil. Good to know. The closing petition of the Lord's Prayer that Christ taught us, the only one he taught us, deliver us from the devil. We cannot deliver ourselves. And the power of the devil in the modern world is such, the late Holy Father Paul VI said, never in the history of the human race has the devil been more successful in seducing souls than today. To trust and ask him to help us, help others, especially you sisters, that bishops and priests might resist the evil one. And the final lesson, to listen to this Christ speaking to us today. From the altar, in all that the church teaches us, in his own words in the New Testament, and at the depths of our hearts. Jesus, mighty God, we love you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.